I'm not on Facebook very much, but I pop in every once in a while. And the other day I came upon an article that really got my attention because it was written by a lady who grew up in my hometown, Beersford, South Dakota. And the words that she wrote, I could have written every bit word for word and could certainly add my own things to it. But it was a beautiful reflection on how things used to be. And so I share it with you, and I will then follow up with some comments. I grew up in a little town in South Dakota called Beersford. On Sundays, you didn't ask if you were going to go to church. You got ready and you went. Both Protestant and Catholic, this is my own aside here, I have a very good friend who grew up together in Beersford, and she was Lutheran, now Catholic. And she and I were just talking about this very subject a few days ago, before I saw this article. We were talking about the whole issue of people not coming to Mass, even before COVID, you know, the relatively small number of professed Catholics that attend Mass weekly. And she reminded me that it wasn't just Catholics who went every week, it was everybody. Lutherans, Methodists, Congregationalists, everybody in town, you went to Mass. The people that lived on the farm, you know, I've shared with you before that I remember specifically walking to Mass in 2 feet of snow because it had blizzarded and the roads weren't open. I know my farm friends who, they hooked up a trailer to a tractor and went out the driveway to church. I mean, you went to church. It was just what everybody did. It was also a time, this writer says, when everyone treated each other like family. We went outside to play. We got dirty. We bought chips and candy from the drugstore. We played red light, green light, kicked the can, Simon Says, hide and seek, dodgeball, Red Rover, baseball, softball, and football. We could ride our bikes to the store or to the park or down a country road and stay out all day. We swam in the pool from the time it opened in the afternoon until it closed at 9 o'clock at night, coming home only to have a bite of supper. We even swam in a pond or a lake when we had the chance. We ate beans and hot dogs, mac and cheese, peanut butter sandwiches. We walked or rode a bike everywhere, and we didn't have any worries about safety. We never thought to lock our windows or doors at night. And again, my own aside, you could knock on any door in town if you felt you were in trouble and be welcomed in. It didn't matter what house in town, you didn't have to worry. You could knock on the door and instantly be welcomed in. We had chores to do around the house. We helped to clean off the table after a meal. And we ate our meals as a family at a table together. We weren't afraid of anything except our parents. If you fell down, you would just get up. We challenged each other everywhere, king of the hill. If someone had a fight, that's all it was, a fight. Kids weren't afraid of fake guns when I grew up. Real guns were just a part of our life. And we respected them, as well as our parents, our teachers, the American flag, the principal, and God. We said the Pledge of Allegiance every day at school. We left our houses as soon as we could in the morning and right after school till our neighbors would yell out for their children as a reminder to get in the house for the night. If one kid was called for dinner, then we knew it was time for all of us to go home. My dad, for example, had a way of whistling, which I can do, but I won't because it would literally hurt your ears. But he had a way of whistling that was very loud. And the second we could be a block away, wherever, and we heard that whistle, that meant get your home for dinner, right? And there was no waiting. Everybody dropped everything and you went home. If we disrespected any adult, there would be a price to pay. And we had manners and we had respect. Otherwise, someone else's parents put you in your place. You see, unlike Hillary Clinton's village of the government raising kids, we really did get raised by a village. Everybody had a stake. Everybody in our town had a stake in that. I remember personally there was a big St. Bernard dog. His name was Humphrey. And he was the town dog, literally. We knew what his house was. We knew where he was. But he could be walking anywhere in town. And my town was 1 square mile. So that's just an example. Nobody thought that Humphrey would get hurt. He was just the town dog. I also remember a particularly nasty blizzard when I was actually in college. I had just gone to college, and somebody had said before how my mom and dad took care of people and would go down to the drugstore when somebody needed something, even going down on Christmas Eve to get somebody batteries for their camera. But this one particular time, we had a really, really bad blizzard, and someone needed insulin, which most of you know is very critical. And there wasn't any way to get down there. And so my dad was going to walk down, and my mom said, "You're not going alone." And so he took my younger brother, who at the time was in high school, he wasn't a little kid, and they literally tied a rope to each other to walk 3 blocks to the drugstore so that my dad could get this person insulin. And then somebody ended up being able to come with a snowmobile and take him to take this insulin. So things like that. You and I, have choices to make. Is that life literally duplicatable today? Maybe not. But is none of it doable? Absolutely not. It's a matter of choices. So is virtue, right? Virtue, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is a habit. And it is built up of doing virtuous things. It is made up of making virtuous choices. Conversely, sin is doing sinful things. It's making choices for something other than God, for something other than family, for something other than our church and parish, and so on. We make those choices every day. And my brothers and sisters, 50 years ago, or 55 years ago as it were, we just made different choices. And you could tell in everybody around. Now, does that mean it was a perfect little town? No. When I was growing up, I always felt, and I've said this before, I always felt like it was kind of like Mayberry, right? But when I got to be an adult, it was more like Peyton Place. Because you start to see, okay, this isn't perfection. This isn't paradise on earth. But it was really good. And it was good because people were a family and people loved each other, and we executed, if you will, the 2 greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that meant everybody goes to church. And love your neighbor as yourself, and that means in actions, not just words. Now, we have a beautiful parish at St. Mark. We have a wonderful outreach ministry. We do. And this is a very caring community here. I will tell you an example that was really impactful for me growing up. It was a Sunday. My parents' drugstore was just open from 8 to noon on Sunday mornings. And we would go to Mass on Saturday night, typically. And this particular Sunday afternoon, we went down to the store again because my dad had to get something for someone. And there was a girl in town who had a paper route. And they would drop the newspapers off down by my parents' drugstore, and they would be in a banded bundle. And so you had to take the band off. And then you had to roll them up and put them in your bag and so on. And then you'd go on your paper route. Well, this day was really especially windy. And she unsnapped or cut open the strap. And those newspapers just, the wind just took them. And they started flying down the street and the sidewalk. And my dad, we were right there when it happened. He said, "All right, let's go." And it was a couple of my brothers and I. We got out and we literally chased down all of the pages of the newspapers. And we gathered them up in a stack, and we put them in the trunk of the car. And we went, we took her, because she didn't have a car, she was riding her bike. We took her to her house, and her family and my family sat on the living room floor, and we reassembled the newspapers. Now, again, I'm not saying that because y'all wouldn't do that. I'm just saying that that's how I grew up, and that's how I was raised. And that's loving your neighbor as yourself. I wouldn't trade anything about my childhood or my town for anything. because we had enough and we had love, and all of that made us the adults we are today. Now, revisiting the very opening line of this writing of this person, I want to touch on the notion of going to Mass, right? No matter who you were, you didn't ask if you were going to church. You just got ready and you went. So this last year obviously has been challenging. It's seen a different way of attending Mass, if attending at all, and so on and so forth. And you know that we at St. Mark have all along done everything we can to keep moving towards normalcy, every little step we can take to be safe and yet open. And that is continuing. The bishop has written a beautiful pastoral letter. It's in this week's issue of the Colorado Catholic Herald. And I'm going to read it to you because not everybody reads the Herald and so on and so forth, but it's very important. And I want to share it with you because it literally ties into that statement of that person and my growing up, that you didn't ask if you were going, you just went. So here from Bishop Sheridan. Almost 1 year has elapsed since the COVID virus began to attack our world. It has been a year of terrible sickness and death for many people. It has been a year of living in isolation and fear. Worst of all, it has been a year in which the celebration and reception of the Eucharist is but a memory for many Catholics. Our churches have been open, and the sacraments have been available. Many of the faithful have continued to fill, COVID-style, their parish churches, some announcing that their fear of being deprived of the sacraments was greater than their fear of sickness or even death. Now, with vaccines available and virus numbers decreasing every day, it's time for all those who are not likely victims of COVID to return to the full practice of our faith. The general dispensation from the Sunday obligation remains in effect for now. But all those except the elderly, those with conditions that could make them more susceptible to COVID, and those who must care for the sick and the elderly should now come home to Mass. If you are unable to participate in Mass on Sunday, then come another day of the week. Watching Mass on television, or worse, taking advantage of the dispensation as an excuse for not attending Mass, must not become the new normal. Pope St. John Paul II wrote in his document Dies Domine, the Day of the Lord, that Sunday is a day which as at the very heart of the Christian life. Far from merely a rule, participation in Mass, especially Sunday Mass, is at the heart of our Catholic identity. In the Sunday Eucharistic celebration, the Word of God is proclaimed in the readings and is explained in the homily. This table of the Word is followed by the table of the Body and Blood of Christ, with which the Lord feeds his people. This explains why participation at Sunday Mass is so important in this Christian life, that in time it was recognized as a grave obligation, as witnessed by Canon 1247 of the Code of Canon Law. Quote, on Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are obliged to participate in the Mass, unquote. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that the Sunday Eucharist is the foundation and confirmation of all Christian practice. For this reason, the faithful are obliged to participate in the Eucharist on days of obligation, unless excused for a serious reason, for example, illness or the care of infants, or dispensed by their own pastor. Those who deliberately fail in this obligation commit a grave sin. Even before COVID caused the changes in our lives as Catholics, only about 35% of those who identified as Catholics attended Mass every week. Now the numbers are even lower. It was not always so. One of the most inspiring accounts of Catholics' love for the Mass comes from the year 304 AD, when the Emperor Diocletian forbade the practice of the Christian religion, especially the Mass. A group of 49 Christians in proconsular Africa defied the emperor and continued to attend Mass. When they were discovered and reported to the emperor and sentenced to death, they replied to their accusers, "Without fear of any kind, we have celebrated the Lord's Supper, because it cannot be missed. This is our law. We cannot live without the Eucharist." And neither can we live without the Eucharist, Bishop Sheridan says. There is no longer any excuse except servile fear for those who are not included among the most vulnerable to stay away from Mass. Our parishes are providing the necessary number of Masses to accommodate all who will come. Consider again the magnificent gifts of baptism and faith that you have been given. There is no salvation apart from Christ and His Church and the sacraments. Let's not celebrate another Lent without the Mass. May the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of the Apostles, obtain for all of us the grace to grasp the message of the Lord's Day and to live it with vigor. Most Reverend Michael J. Sheridan, Bishop of Colorado Springs. To this end, my brothers and sisters, this week my staff and I will be discussing our next steps to continue to have even more people here at Mass. Stay tuned, stay strong, be holy.